Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 5th chapter, reading verses 5 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. When he, being Jesus, entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in great distress." And he said to him, "I will come and I will cure him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west, and all eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour. May God bless this reading and hearing of his holy word. Amen. Please pray with me. Father God, we did come through the doors of the church today with many things on our hearts. Father, we pray that we can set them aside and that we may hear what you would have us to hear. In the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So this is a somewhat familiar story, at least, you know, I think it is. I've heard it a number of times. And it's a story of Jesus coming into the city of Capernaum, and he is met by a centurion. Now, when you think of a centurion, you know, I think of the common foot soldier in Rome. Well, this was not just any centurion. He was, according to tradition, he was a captain. And he had about 60,000 soldiers under his authority. So he was not just this common foot soldier or a low-ranking member of the Roman army. He had some station and he had power. As he says, he tells his men, "Go," and they go. He tells them, "Come," and they come back. He tells his servant, "Do this," and it gets done. And yet, he's coming to this scraggly looking, dirty, probably hair a little bit messed up, Jewish rabbi, and asking him for help. Why the heck would he do that? He's got all of this power. He could send for the best doctors, the best people that could probably help his beloved servant. But he doesn't. He comes to Jesus. More than likely, this centurion had heard stories about his healing people. He probably heard about Jesus healing that colony of lepers. Now remember, leprosy was a very, very big thing. If you had leprosy, you basically were exiled. Get out of our town. We don't want you here. You're unclean. So the centurion had probably heard about all that Jesus had done. And he loved this sermon. I think in Luke it says that the centurion came in regards to his beloved servant. So he liked him. He wanted him around. He didn't want to just replace him, which he probably could do. But he seeks out Jesus. And Jesus, being Jesus, says, okie dokie, let's go. I'm going to go heal the servant. And then the centurion has a moment of realization and says, you know what? I don't deserve you to come into my household. Remember, this is a high-ranking centurion talking to a lowly rabbi, saying, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. But if you just speak a word, I have faith that my servant will be healed. Now, this faith that the centurion has just spoken to and demonstrated, that catches Jesus's attention. And basically, Jesus goes on to say, many people are going to come and have this faith, and they're going to die in paradise. And then he ends it, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The heirs to the kingdom. Who are the heirs to the kingdom? All the people that supposedly follow Jesus. So why are they going to be thrown out? Because they lack faith. They lack total faith. Let me go there. They lack total faith. This centurion, by what he does, by coming to Jesus, asking him for help, realizing that Jesus is not, he's not worthy. The centurion is not worthy to have him come. And what does he say? Speak the word, and it shall be done. Anybody here from, what is it, Missouri? Anyone here from Missouri? What do they say in Missouri? Show me. Show me. What does a centurion do? He doesn't have to be shown. He knows. He has the faith. The blind faith, shall we say, that if Jesus says it, that it shall be done. This is a rhetorical question. How many times during the day do you pray for someone or some situation to God about, and you don't have total faith in it? You have some doubt as to whether God is really going to do what you have petitioned him to do. How many times Have you given something to God and then 10 seconds later, hey, wait a minute, I need that back, God. I thought I was ready to let it go, but you know what? I think I'm just gonna hang on to this, to stew about it, to worry about it. I need to fuss over it a little bit more, because we have some doubt. We have a lack of faith. Now, let me admit that I'm that guy. I'm that guy that has given stuff to God and 10 seconds later, hey, well, no, wait, I'm sorry. Give me that back. Give me back. You got, you know, I trust you. I've got faith. But I mean, I don't know about this. Like, I need to think about this a little bit more. How many times have you prayed for situations that are going on in the world? How many of you, let's be specific, how many of you have prayed about Ukraine and things being resolved, and you've prayed your heart out, and 5 seconds after you say amen? Well, I don't know if that's really going to happen. I'm guilty. I'll admit it. I'm guilty as charged. So, what exactly can we learn from this story of the centurion? Well, number one, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your place in the community. It doesn't matter if you are a mayor, a senator, a representative, a governor, a national cabinet member. It doesn't matter if you are the president of the United States. You need to go to Jesus. And you need to give your petitions to him. I hate the word ask, asking God for something. You give your prayers, your worries, your concerns, everything, and you ask God to move. So anybody can talk. Everybody needs Jesus is pretty much it. Anyone can go and ask something. Oh, there I go. Can ask Jesus, Lord, please be in the situation in Ukraine. Father God, please be with our elected representatives. Anybody can do that. What's the second thing? We do need to realize that we are not worthy to pray to God. We're not worthy. We've got so much crap in our lives that is against what God has taught. We got no right to do that. But you know what the good thing is? Jesus has said, you are worthy. Even if whatever you've done, you are worthy, you can talk to me. I'll listen. I might not answer it in the way that you want to, but I will listen and I will work. Next, when we ask, whatever it is, we need to have faith that God will do something with what we are, with what we have petitioned for. knowing that it is going to be answered in such a way that it is going to be part of the will of God, the will of the kingdom. How many of you have ever prayed for someone that is in end stage of life, that they would be healed, that perhaps they would just be clear-minded enough to interact with the family just for a little while longer, and then the day after you pray that, they're gone? Disappointing. But should that shake your faith? Yeah, maybe you're going to question it a little bit. Questioning is fine. God likes that. But don't lose faith. Lastly, at the end, well, let me back up. The whole faith thing. The centurion had absolute faith in Jesus. Absolute faith that Jesus would do whatever it is, even if he couldn't see or he wasn't where the request is about or who it is about. The centurion had that faith, and Jesus healed. Last thing. Jesus recognized the faith of this centurion. And he said, basically, if you are going to be my follower, and your tank of faith is low, you are not going to be part of the kingdom. Even if you follow Jesus, even if you follow me, if you don't have faith in me, that's a problem. I know that life can be hard, and there are tough things that we unfortunately have to deal with as part of life. We have loved ones, friends, family, that bad things happen. Bad things happen to us. How are we going to respond to that? Are we going to overwhelmingly doubt? Or are we going to, yes, have some doubt, but have faith that all things will indeed work out to the glory of God? That is the question that I leave you with today. Amen.